Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convinced by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pharisee. That always makes one think of the man praying in the temple, "I thank you, God, that I am not as other men, especially that tax collector." It isn't so much that the Pharisees were crass hypocrites who did not practice what they preached. They really were outwardly very pious. Their flaw was a massive overestimation of themselves, their self-congratulatory piety, and their just plain self-righteousness. The woman here has been caught in the sin of adultery. Jesus sees her repentant heart, and he forgives her. But the scribes and the Pharisees are not interested in any redemption, but only in retribution, almost as though they were thirsty for some blood to flow from a good old-fashioned stoning. But that isn't what brings Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees here into conflict. This scene is really a part of their efforts to trap Jesus. That is their real target. And they asked a very clever, well-thought-out question. "Moses says that this woman should be stoned. But what do you say, Jesus?" If Jesus says that this woman is not to be stoned, then of course he is guilty, in their view, of evading the law they refer to in Leviticus. If he says, yes, she is to be stoned, then he's guilty of trespassing on the authority of those who are supposed to be making such decisions. Sin, of course, is serious. Adultery and the other sins of unchastity are serious. Adultery and idolatry not only rhyme, but they amount to the same thing. Adultery is the idolizing of a precious gift of God and ignoring the boundaries that He, the Creator, has set. But we do not deal with the sins of others simply in order that they get their just deserts. Rather, we deal with our fellow believers out of love, with repentance and forgiveness as the object, and never without being aware of our own sins and weakness. So, when Jesus points the scribes and Pharisees to their own sin, "He who is without sin, let him throw a stone at her first," they understand that they have been beaten at their own little game, and they leave, as it says, convicted by their consciences, though not brought to repentance. Jesus had already preached in the Sermon on the Mount, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' but do not consider the plank in your own?" The real contrast between the Pharisees and this woman was in the Pharisees' self-righteousness. It was not merely that they suddenly realized that they knew that Jesus had turned their trap against them. Even though Jesus had touched their consciences, they would continue to be self-righteous, eager to assert their holiness because of their own righteous behavior, which Jesus showed them they could not do. They sought righteousness in themselves and not in Jesus. Their idea of righteousness was one in which they could compare themselves to others who did not have it, and that they did. Jesus deals with this woman as one who is penitent. Jesus said to the woman, "Neither do I condemn you." Those are also his words of absolution to us. It is as St. Paul writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." We remember what Jesus also had said. Jesus once said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And that certainly is a surprising statement in the light of what we have seen of the scribes and Pharisees here in this text. But what Jesus says is not a demand for an unattainable righteousness, but rather his demand is for a righteousness which is only found in himself. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the righteousness that we have through faith in our Lord's perfect obedience to God's law, in his obedience to death on the cross for our sins, and his victory over sin, death, and Satan in the resurrection. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised again for our justification. That is the forgiveness of sins that Abraham believed, and it was credited to him for righteousness. It is the same forgiveness of sins, repentance, and faith that God has set before us and given to us. Trust in his righteousness for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us turn to page 166, or 167 rather, and pray together the morning prayer of Luther. Please rise. Page 167. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.